hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AM/FM Shortwave Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller, live from the studios, Republic Broadcasting Network, on this 18th day, 08. 08, 1808. There's got to be some significance to that, but not that I care today. At any rate, I got G. Edward Griffith coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Probably best known for his work, The Creature from Jekyll Island. I don't know, I'll have to ask him. The hand-signed copy that I have dates back to 2003, and I think at that time it was in its 14th printing. The information is golden. It was gleaned from a lot of different sources. He did extensive and exhaustive research on the Fed Reserve. So we'll be bringing him up in just a few minutes. And if you'd like to peruse his website while you're listening to him on this program, you can at www.freedom-force.org. And if you happen to get that wrong, it'll probably take you to a page and did you mean freedomforce.org? And my contention, folks, over the years has been the IRS and the Fed Reserve coming up at the same time. Consider the facts behind that. Of course, we're talking about the Fed Reserve system, that we just had to have this system because of all the funny stuff that was going on. We had to have a stable currency. We couldn't have banks that, well, would get out of line and they had to be monitored. Well, consider the following facts. Both were enacted into law in the same year. Both laws, the laws themselves, rather, were drafted and sponsored by the same politicians clustered around the Morgan and Rockefeller banking dynasties. By the way, JP and boys started panicking everybody, or trying to, back as far as 1907. Both were sold to the public as measures to benefit the common man and restrict the power of the super wealthy, the same people who incidentally created the legislation in the first place. Both provided sophisticated mechanisms whereby the super wealthy can protect and expand their wealth, but these mechanisms are denied to the common man, just as they are today, folks. 2%, oh yes, that's the prime rate. Not to you and I, but to themselves. They're bailing each other out, and we'll get Ed's viewpoints on that, because now they're starting to put the onus of the bankers and all of their greed where? Well, as a form of tax on us. Again, kind of a surety type of thing. Now, both are essential to the expansion of government power and the establishment of control over the masses, which is the ultimate goal of the elitists, who anticipate being the hidden rulers of such a system. And both are protected by leaders of the two major political parties, who are amply funded by these elitists and their institutions. Politicians may speak critically of the income tax and the Federal Reserve during campaigns, but never seriously challenge them once in office. By the way, Mr. Paul is an exception to that guarded rule. Both creatures will continue to grow until they devour every last vestige of our personal wealth and freedom, unless they are slain. Stick a fork in them. A stake, better still. As Mr. Paul suggested, we need to dump the Federal Reserve. We'll be talking to G. Edward Griffin right after this break, and we'll talk a little bit about everything, and I want to get his take on, well, the current economic chaos that they so craftily and artfully designed for us.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Very happy to have today, and I wanted to bring him up in light of all the financial shenanigans that you're seeing. By the way, I've said in this broadcast before, when people mention democracies, that we've got to democratize more people, well, just put that on as, we've got to get the funny money people in there to control and manipulate the culture, society, business, and every other aspect of your life. G. Edward Griffith, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, John.
I appreciate you coming on the program. I was looking, you signed a copy of The Creature from Jekyll Island for me back in, I think it was 2003, and your printing, what printing are you in? Because the back in 03 it was in the 14th printing. What is it up to now?
Well, it's up to 21 as we speak, yes. The first printing was in July of 1994, and of course those aren't just printings. We've gone through three editions where there have been some major updates. And each time we do a printing, John, we probably have 20 or 30 pages that get changed to update some data, or we find little errors, some of them just typographical errors or grammatic errors that we try and change. So the book is constantly evolving.
I'll have to get a new copy of it. And if they want a copy of it, where do they get it at?
Well, we prefer they come to our website, of course. You can buy them at Amazon.com, or you can buy them on the Internet in many places. But our website, why not come right to the source, is Reality Zone. That's www.realityzone.com.
All righty. And that's how you signed this copy. You said, welcome to the reality zone. You signed it off, Ed Griffin. I was just going through some stuff and doing some research prior to today's program, and I ran across, Ed, and I'm sure you've seen this in your studies, the Committee on Banking and Currency, the 88th Congress. This is back in 1964, and they were doing a review of 50 years of the Fed Reserve. And Dr. Russell Lee Nornburn, he was from Asheville, North Carolina. There was a lot of, I guess this guy gave testimony in front of the committee. And he said that the fundamental cause of the American Revolution, and we're taught in our history books, oh, it was a, we threw tea in the Boston Harbor and it was against their taxes. Well, the fundamental cause of the American Revolution was the conservative policies of the privately owned and controlled Bank of England in a failing to supply the colonies with money, and because of the monopolistic system of financial exploitation of the British government. 1964.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you probably recall, I touched on that topic in my own book, and there's no doubt that he's right, but it's a little deeper than that, because unfortunately some of the colonists at the time wanted to have the power to create money out of nothing. They were printing money on the presses. Benjamin Franklin was very much in the middle of that. Of course, he was one of the, you know, the first best-known printers in America. His company was very active in printing money for the colonial governments. And so they were doing something which was not very healthy to the economy, certainly not good for the colonies or for the people. But they liked that ability, and the Bank of England said, no, no, you can't print money. We can print money, but you can't do it. And so the Bank of England did use its influence through the crown. They passed laws and actually prevented the colonies from creating fiat money and forced them to accept the fiat money of England. So you see there's a mixed bag in that story there. In a way, they were doing the colonies a favor by forcing them to abandon printing press money, but by the same token, they weren't really solving the problem because they were just forcing the colonists to use the fiat money of the British. So there's a mixed story behind that little piece of history.
And it's fascinating to me. There have been many people, and as I stated, I went on your website, freedomforce.org, and you broke down the IRS and the Federal Reserve, the fraternal twins. And you mentioned in here the Congressman Ron Paul is an exemplary exception to the rule, and that's that neither party. And we have been in a slave state, Ed. You cannot, in any form or fashion, express this any other way. We have been slaves to the private corporation, the money changers inside this country for nigh on 100 years now. We're coming up on the anniversary, and I'm looking at this situation, and I'm seeing the abject greed and the absolute takeover now. The situation that they created in the country, inflation, some call it the transfer of wealth or taxation. What would be if you had somebody that was just absolutely a neophyte about the funny money institution inside this country? How would you address that person?
That's a challenging question, John, because I face that all the time, and that's pretty much the reason I wrote the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, is because it was aimed at just such a person that had no prior understanding and certainly no belief that such a system existed. It's easier to deal with somebody who has no information whatsoever than it is with someone who has incorrect information that you have to overcome before you get back to that neutral point. And unfortunately, many of our fellow citizens have incorrect information, as in fact I did when I started down this path years ago. I thought I had some answers, which it turned out were non-answers at all, like they were false. So I don't know. I think you just have to start at the beginning, and as I tried to do in the book, I tried to tell a story. Instead of giving a lecture about, well, this is how money is created, and this is the reserve ratio, and there's a discount window, you know, and all the technical things, which, frankly, most people, they're not interested in those technicalities. I tried to tell a story because this really is a story. It's kind of like a whodunit. And we found out who did it, what it is they did, how they did it, where they buried the bodies, and so forth. So I started to tell a story in The Creature, and I think it was a wise decision because people like to read stories or hear stories. And the story of the creation of the Federal Reserve is just absolutely fascinating. The fact that it was done in secrecy, that it was done away from Washington, D.C. In fact, it was done on a privately owned island off the coast of Georgia, an island that was owned by the wealthiest people in America called the Jekyll Island Club. And the fact that they went to great lengths to hide the fact that there was such a meeting, they denied that it existed for many years. And then to find out what it is they discussed at this meeting, and they did write about it in later years, so you don't even have to guess about it today. Even though it was highly secret then, it's a matter of public record now. And to find out what they discussed and the skullduggery that they plotted and what they decided they were going to let the American people think about this creation and why they used the deception and all of these things, the story is absolutely amazing. And so I think to answer the question is to interest somebody in this topic is just to tell them the story.
It's fascinating. This was one of the things, Ed, years ago that I first latched onto. And I'd been always told as a child or an adult in training, call them what you will, that you follow the money. If you want to find out what's really going on and who's doing the controlling or who wants to make the buck for whatever reason, you just simply follow the money. So that's where I started out years ago, watching who controlled the money, who loaned the money. And one of the first books I ever read on the topic was Creature from Jekyll Island. And it read like a mystery novel. If you've got people out there that are avid readers of mystery novels and just love it, shove a copy of The Creature from Jekyll Island in their hands, and I guarantee you they'll literally burn the midnight oil reading the thing because you can't put it down. And what it occurs to the person that's the reader of this book is this is not a work of fiction. It is a mystery novel that unfolds before your very eyes, and it's a brain twister. It really is. And nowadays, Ed, I do one thing. I introduce people to the funny money system. I give them a copy of Aaron Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism, because it covers the issue of the banking and the IRS, and they are synonymous, and it's highly entertaining. It goes into other subject matter, but it's kind of a primer. It gets their attention, and then that's my follow-up to get their interest because people don't realize, as you said, they don't realize how entrenched we are in this matrix that they have created for us. We're staring at a dollar that I don't even know that's even worth 2 cents anymore, and now we're watching the literal takeover. If you want to talk about Hegelian dialectic, this is the Mac Daddy of them all. That, well, we have a problem, and, well, we're going to create something new. We're going to demonstrate what was wrong with the old, and then we're going to give you the new solutions. Hence, in 1913, stability, which is most important for any economic system in the world, connected with anybody, we're going to give you stability. But what, and Ed, I don't think you'd argue with that. That's the Mac Daddy of the Hegelian dialectic.
Well, that's right. Create a problem. Offer a solution. The solution is extreme. Everybody resists the solution, so you back down a little bit to the midpoint and say, ah, that's a good solution, and that's what they wanted to do all the time. That's, it's an old tactic. In fact, as you were saying that, I couldn't help but think of a current example, maybe not exactly in the banking circles, but gasoline prices at the pump. Not too long ago, was pushing $5, and people were having hemorrhages. $5 for gasoline. And now, oh, thank goodness, oh, isn't it wonderful? It's dropping down to $4. Well, it wasn't too long ago people were hemorrhaging over $4 for gas.
That's right. Yeah,
and now they're happy to have it. So that's the way it works.
Yeah. You take a little bit of the heat off, and you give them a little bit of relief. And
A little bit of relief along the way, and they're happy.
All right. We'll take the break here. My guest today, G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island. The websites, ladies and gentlemen, realityzone.com. and also freedomforce.org. I want to get into the Freedom Force and your movement with that also, Ed, but when we get back from the break, I want to get into the current policies and what the Fed's up to today. We'll be right back.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
We are back. My guest today, Ed Griffith. Ed, we saw about 6 months ago Northern Rock. We saw a few news stories in the country that, some panicked English folk were lining up on the streets outside of Northern Rock to withdraw their money. And, of course, that went on for a week or two, and Northern Rock was just aghast that the people there that, even though that they tried to sue them by saying that, you know, we got about $7 billion in cash at the banks, nobody needs to panic. The very next week, they're knocking on the Bank of England's door. And after that little, I think it was $100 billion at the time, it's probably more by now, the following week, there was an announcement by the MP over there that, talking with the Bank of England, looks like we're going to have to nationalize this bank. Now, a lot of people did not understand what that meant. And now we're seeing that very same process repeat itself here in the United States. The current situation with the Fed Reserve and their power grab here, Ed, how are you looking at this?
I'm looking at the present scenario as just a continuing unfolding of what has been happening ever since the Federal Reserve System was created. Those who've read the portions of my book dealing with the origin of the Fed will recall that one of the things they discussed on Jekyll Island when they created this creature was why were they doing it? They had to deal with the issues of what's the advantage of creating a Federal Reserve System or what they call a central bank and going into partnership with the federal government. What they were really creating, John, as you know, is a cartel The cartel was forming itself in such a way as to appear to the public as a government agency, but its heart was, and its soul and its brain was that of a banking cartel, which it definitely is and still is that today. And one of the things they discussed about the advantages of this cartel was that, and this cartel in partnership with the government, I should say, is that they could pass along the inevitable losses to the taxpayers, because it appears to be a government agency, because government is so closely entwined with it. Most people think it's government, and most people were sold a bill of goods that it was created for the best interest of the people, that it was to stabilize banking, to stabilize our monetary institutions, to prevent fraud and all that kind of thing, to protect everybody. That was the message, to protect. And so since people bought into that, no matter what this creature does, they say, oh, well, it's for my protection. It's for the benefit of America. It's for the economy. It's, you know, all of these good things. You never question that cartels never act out of such altruistic instincts. So what we've seen over the years is many instances where the taxpayer has been called to fund the bailout of various sectors of the banking community that have failed. The banks are allowed to do outrageous things because it's all so tightly governed and you know, it's regulated. And so if you do something with the permission of the government, then, and if it goes sour, then the government has the responsibility of bailing you out. That's the general formula. So they followed these rules and regulations, which were created by the cartel itself for the benefit of the cartel members, the banks. Those are outrageous things, that they were able to create money out of nothing. They were able to loan loans on fictitious assets. They were able to have absolutely absurd ratios in everything they did. The profits were extreme. The risks were high. But they knew all along that when this thing finally collapsed, as they knew eventually it must, it would be passed on to the taxpayers in the form of a bailout of some kind, and that the taxpayers would be told that it's in their best interest to do so. So we've seen that happen over the years in many instances where banks have gotten into trouble, and especially where their loans have gotten into trouble. Some of the banks were loaning tremendous amounts of money to third world countries, and knowing full well that those countries would never be in a position to repay those loans. But they knew that in the final analysis, the World Bank and ultimately the Federal Reserve System would come to their aid and provide the benefits to these countries, give them the money so they can continue to make the bank payments. And that was all explained to the taxpayers as being a wonderful thing, because it was supposedly somehow helping those third world countries, when in reality it was just designed to keep the money flowing into the banks that made the outrageous loans in the first place. Many large corporations in America went in the same direction. We remember Chrysler got bailed out. They couldn't pay their banks, and so the government stepped in and gave the money to Chrysler so they could continue to pay the banks. So Chrysler then kicked in and started to operate profitably again for a while, but now they're back in trouble again. And Chrysler and General Motors and Ford now will be doing the same thing. They'll be coming to the government and saying, oh, you've got to provide the money so that we don't go out of business. That means provide the money so they can pay the banks. That's what that really means. So all of this has been going on, and now we're seeing it in spades with the subprime crisis really bringing everything to a head. And the magnitude of these bailouts today is many times greater than what it had been in the past. And once again, true to form, dutifully obedient to the terms of the charter, the Federal Reserve is stepping up and, in cooperation with the federal government, is providing the money to bail out the banks, to give them the credit, to give them the money, give them the loans at ridiculously low rates so that they can pump it into the economy and save their institutions. Meanwhile, that means that tremendous amounts of money is being pumped into the economy through the banks. That means that inflation is and will continue to go up, up, up. And that means that the cost of everything in the grocery store and at the gas pumps and elsewhere is going to go up, up, up. And the average American is going to pay for all of that.
We'll break, Ed. We'll be right.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Chelarex from scienceformulas.com. Chelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Chelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Chelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Chelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Chelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Chelarex, chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Ed, you mentioned the car companies, and looking at General Motors once being the largest car manufacturer on the planet, they had a financing arm called GMAC, the General Motors Acceptance Corporation, and I could never understand why GMAC, and just for selling their cars, we saw Henry Ford up the hourly rate for its workers in Dearborn, Michigan to $5 a day because Henry decided that it might be good business if the people who were building my car could actually buy my car. And I watched General Motors and their financing arm of their company, their corporation, and I never understood. You know, General Motors was making billions of dollars every year. They had good cash flow. They were having pressure by foreign manufacturers actually building better product, but yeah, everybody's on the sleuth for a better deal, and if you went any place and bought a car, you had to finance it, generally speaking. People did. There are people that actually bought and paid for their cars cash, but very few people have the ability to do that. But I was watching General Motors, and I always thought to myself, you know, with their billions of dollars, why couldn't, through that GMAC, could they not offer loans, say, based on a fee, projected out over 2-3 years, whatever the case may be, rather than having people finance through banks, just have a fee based on the current rate of inflation? Don't you think they could have sold more cars doing it that way?
Well, it's a good question, John. I had never thought about that before. I think that making a loan based on a fee is a lot more ethical and straightforward, honest, than so-called interest, especially when the money that is being loaned is created out of nothing, which is the case in almost all of these loans. The banks don't have that money. When they create a loan, they create the money out of nothing, and they use the car or the house or the tractor or whatever it is as collateral. There's a certain logic behind that, but to charge interest on such a creation of money, there's no logic to that. Interest, I think, is the wrong word. If it was somebody's money that had been put into savings and you were loaning that out, then you could say, yes, the interest on this is such and such. But since the money doesn't exist prior to the loan, I think calling it interest is misleading. I think what you should call it, as you suggested, is a fee. It's a fee for the creation of this money, and it's generally, if you understand what it's all about, the fee would be a lot less than what the current interest rates are for such loans. So I've always favored that idea, but your question about why didn't GMAC do that is probably the answer is that they found it more profitable to do it the traditional way.
This is, yeah, and it goes back to the old adage, follow the money. You know, yes. How do you make the most money? You mentioned banks, and as I see it now, Ed, and especially with the bailout, this being put on the bailouts of the bank here through the Fed Reserve, them just printing more money. We've pegged the inflation rate right now, and we're not even talking about such commodities as food or even oil. That's been factored out. We've pegged the inflation rate at somewhere between 12% and 13%. And it's fascinating. You mentioned we're talking about banking. You walk into a bank. If you've never had any dealings with a bank before, you walk in as the creditor, and then you walk out of that bank as the debtor. But what they've got going on right now, and again, it's a kind of a surety scam to put the onus of this privately owned corporation for the repayment of the loans on the backs of the consumers or taxpayers. You know, whenever you hear those flags and a politician utters those words, better look around real fast because they're talking about you working through the banking system. But, Ed, now they weren't just satisfied with making you a debtor when you were once the creditor. You create the money by your signature. You monetize that debt. But now they've got you going out the back door. Well, okay, we've got ourselves in trouble. And we haven't even talked about how much greed and avariciousness has gone on through these financial institutions. We haven't even mentioned all the derivatives and all this trash that they've floated around the planet. They're still talking about subprime mortgages, which the bailouts are going to have very little effect for the average consumer out there. But they're whistling through the graveyard here, Ed. They're not talking about the trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in derivatives like the CDOs, the structured investment vehicles, all the things that they've sold off to make more profit. How do you see that sizing up?
Well, as I said before, it's all part of the same continuum. I agree with you, by the way. The subprime crisis, as they like to call it, is just the tip of the iceberg. It's something that is easy to see for the average person. They can understand, making a loan on a house that, and the loan is greater than the value of the house, or that it's loaned to a person who has no ability to pay the payments, and they can understand that it's part of their daily life experience for many people. But when you get to these derivatives and these exotic investment vehicles, hedge funds, and all of these kinds of things, it gets very mysterious, and so they don't really need to talk about that, and people never ask about it because they don't understand it in the first place. But in my view, that is really where the biggest rot lies in the whole structure. And when the structure comes down, maybe I should say if, but I tend to think when that huge structure comes down, it'll be because of the rot in all of those exotic so-called investments and not necessarily the subprime issue.
Well, and we've got 7,500 banks operating inside this country right now. We're going to see more and more consolidations, more banks trying to make good on other banks' liabilities. And I've heard it predicted, and out of the 7,500, that we may, in fact, see 6,000 of these banks up and disappear, which is pretty daunting. Mark in Texas, you've been holding here. You're on with G. Edward Griffin.
Good afternoon, John, Mr. Griffin. After watching the the problems that the McFaddens and the Lindberghs and the Kennedys and the Lincolns all went through going up against this beast, I still wonder that maybe the only reason, even as ludicrous as this Ponzi scheme we call Social Security was, I think it was nothing but a buffer. It was to be a break from the inflation. In other words, they passed it down to the generations to come to take a little bit of money out of their labor after the inflation factor to hopefully supplement the folks that were, you know, getting older that couldn't be part of the workforce any longer. And I don't think it was necessarily socialistic in that direction because they saw what happened to the other individuals that tried to go up against this beast. Any comments on that?
Well, I guess it'd be my turn to comment. I think that's a definite possibility, Mark, but the way I'm reading that period of history, I don't see it that way. I think the way I see it, at least, is that the politicians at the time were looking at the FDR period, were very concerned about looking good against the various socialist and Nazi governments around the world. They had all these schemes, socialist and Nazi schemes, where they were talking about taking care of the poor people, you know, providing for them in their old age, and, you know, showing conscious a concern and a conscience for the people and all of this stuff, for the people. And yet they realized that it was a way of bringing the people into harness. And I think that the guys here in the United States felt very inadequate because they didn't have a program like that. And especially in the times of FDR, there was a strong communist movement in the United States, socialist and communist, and there was a lot of agitation for this sort of thing. They were quoting Marx, they were quoting Lenin, and they said, this is what we need in America. And I think that these guys in Washington just said, yeah, well, why fight this? So let's just get to the head of the line and lead the parade ourselves. I think that's how I read that period of history.
Well, what seemed even so controversial, and not to throw this, even the central bank is the ultimate communistic endeavor.
No, I agree. I agree with that. The central bank system is based on the model of collectivism. It's all part of that. It's a way of bringing total control over society and over the economy into the hands of a very few people. Yeah, you bet.
Thanks for your call, Mark. I appreciate it. Ed, I've often referred to the global strategy for a one-world government as being socialistic. Communism, it really doesn't produce much. There's not much of an incentive. If we all are equal owners and partners, then why work? I just need to be on the dole and do the minimum. Socialism, on the other hand, that gives you the illusion that there is production going on, and, well, the government just turns around and taxes you for your labors and your efforts. And the ideal dream here for the global elite with their new world order is to have the total banking control of every currency of every country, and eventually leading to a one-world currency. As I look at this, and most people don't, you know, they don't connect the dots here, that the very power brokers, the very people that are creating this new world order are, in fact, the bankers. They're the backers. They're the schemers and the scammers, the ones behind the great wars, because there were no good guys with white hats or black hats. They didn't care. They would fund both sides. Oh, more money to be made after you bought your munitions, went into hawk at interest for that. Then there was a lot of reconstruction to be done. And war is a very good moneymaker for these bankers. But, Ed, in your words, the global elite with their new world order, that's their ultimate aim, is it not?
Well, the way I look at it, John, is that we sometimes get off track when we use words like socialism, communism, fascism, Nazism, but we have to use them occasionally because those words are in the vernacular, and that's what people expect to hear. But when you really analyze it, all of those systems that I just mentioned are merely variants of one ideology, and the proper name for it is collectivism. And collectivism is that concept where, you know, all individuals are meaningless. They're just part of the group, and the group has to be sacrificed if necessary. I mean, the individual has to be sacrificed if necessary for the benefit of the group, and everybody becomes group conscious. And you know, this we'll do everything for the group, everything for the state, everything for the nation. When in reality, when you see how that works out, there's always a ruling elite that speaks for the nation or the or the people. There's always a leader of the people who speaks on their behalf. And you're right back to the same old tradition of dictatorship that history has seen, except it's a lot more sophisticated because people are now conditioned mentally to think that they like their dictator. He represents their interest and so forth. So what we're really dealing with is collectivism. And now, if we use that word, there's no doubt that the ruling elite, and we're talking about the bankers primarily because they've got their hands on the economic levers, which are the most important levers of all. Once you control the money, you can control governments, you can control military armies, you can control educational systems, you can control media, you can control anything if you do control the money. So that's where the pinnacle of it is. And those people do now have a long-range goal, which is the building of what they fondly call the New World Order. They use that phrase a lot, but it merely means world government. But the important thing is not any world government, but a special kind of world government, and it's based on the model of collectivism. If it was just a world government based on the principles of liberty and respect for the individual's freedom and so forth, I might even get enthused over it. But that is not what we're talking about. In today's world, this new world order is going to be a totalitarian system based on the model of collectivism.
And, of course, we have to bring up the threat here of international terrorism. How to scare people and to, well, driving them in whatever direction, and of course necessitate the various mechanizations for more control. Because you're right, Ed. As I look at this, I've watched 3.5 million jobs run out of the country since George Bush came into office. We're looking at record deficits under this man's presidency, and nobody on the campaign trail right now in modern-day politics, well, except for one, and that was Ron Paul, is talking about these issues. What is concerning people most in this country today are jobs, money, how am I going to live? They know they're paying more money for the goods that they're buying at the grocery store and off the hardware shelves everywhere, but they don't have a clue as to what is driving this. Yeah, in 1 minute or less, Ed, how do we start getting through to people? How do we start driving? Because the perfect stage has been set here. The disaster, the economic chaos is going on. What is the best way to get through to the generally dumb public here in America?
Well, I don't like to use the generally dumb public. I think the public's pretty smart, but like a computer. A computer can only be as functional as the data that's put into it. If you program a computer with erroneous data, it's going to come out with wrong answers, and I think people are a lot like that. And the information that people is getting, the information that we are getting from our media and from our politicians is totally corrupt information. So it's not that the people are dumb, but they're just getting wrong information. How do we overcome that? Well, that's what you're trying to do, isn't it? You've got your show, and all of our members of Freedom Force International are doing something in our own way to try and get the truth out and to become influential in the what we call the power centers of society, not just to talk about it among ourselves, not just to hold meetings and invite people to come hear our speakers, and not just to pass out books to read like mine and so forth, but to go out where the people are, into the organizations and the institutions where the masses belong, and become influential out there. It's a whole new concept, and if anybody really wants to make a difference in the world, I urge them to come to our Freedom Force website. That's what it's all about. It's how to reach out and to make a change. And so I'd like to plug that website. You've already told about it in the beginning, but it's www.freedomforceinternational.org. And there's plenty to read there. And as you said a moment ago, you can't summarize it in 1 minute or less. But there it is. And if anybody really wants to see what my suggestion is and what my solution is, you'll find it at Freedom Force International.
All right, we got to take a break here in a couple of minutes, and you can only spend to the top of the hour with us, correct?
That's correct, unfortunately, yes.
Well, and I know you're a busy man, and we had to reschedule you. I got jammed up on a schedule and had to reschedule, and you had the you had the ability to reschedule for the following Monday, and I greatly appreciate that. Ed, aside from people, and this is very, very important, I believe, for people to understand, as to the psychology and the fear that has crept into people's lives. And when we get back from the break, I would hope that you would address that for the few minutes we have remaining on how to cast off that fear, how to get involved, and to start making a difference, because people are primed right now, ladies and gentlemen, for something that makes a difference in their life. And understanding of a problem is critical and crucial to the solution to that problem. When we get back, we'll spend a few more minutes with Ed Griffin. We'll take this break, and we will be right back.
Personal information should stay personal, but the growth of contactless ID cards, passports, and credit cards, and the proliferation of RFID has caused an increased threat to sensitive personal information, with the risk potential for RFID-enabled contactless cards to be read without your permission. Introducing Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder products from Identity Stronghold. If you have a credit, debit, or transit card with a contactless smart card system, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have an employee ID, proximity card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have a government employee PIV, CAC, or TWIT card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you received your passport within the last 2 years, you need Identity Stronghold. Identity Stronghold Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder create a barrier to RF signals necessary to power and communicate with RFID-enabled smart cards and passports. Protect your personal information. Visit IDStronghold.com today or phone 800-610-2770, because personal information should stay personal.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
The two websites, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to order the book Creature from Jekyll Island, which Ed says it has been updated, it's in its 21st printing, and he's consistently throughout the years updated that with fresh information. Go to realityzone.com and you can order a copy of that book. What's the price on it now? Due to inflation, Ed.
Yeah, and due to inflation, it's $24.50 for the paperback.
Okay. And freedomforce.org. You have membership for this. And when somebody comes in as a member, what can they expect to happen?
Well, first of all, it's freedom-force.org,
mm-hmm,
or freedomforceinternational.org.
Okay.
The other one will get you to a Japanese company that sells a game called Freedom Force.
Okay.
Anyway, what to expect? Well, the first thing to expect is to be put into contact with other members in your area. And we now have members in about 60 different countries, although most of them are in the United States, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, England, and the Western countries. But we do have members in actually 60 countries around the world. So there's a good chance of being placed in contact with somebody no matter where you are. The first step is to network with others of like mind, because there's a tendency for many of us to feel that we're all alone, that we are definitely the minority, that nobody understands what we're talking about. And this is a myth. They're all over the place, folks. It's just that you don't read about it in the major media. And if you go on the basis of the media and you think that represents majority opinion, then it's very depressing. So the first step is to become networked with others of like mind. The next thing is to begin to help each other become influential in the power centers of society. And by that I mean we have to reach out where people are. We have to go into organizations where people are already there with other goals and other missions, organizations that have missions that we identify with. It's not an idea of just going into something to infiltrate it and take it over. But we all have church organizations that we have an affinity to. We have political parties that we have an affinity to. You know, we have professional associations that we belong to. Those are the things that we would be active in anyway. So we need to get organized and help each other to become influential in those organizations and eventually to become leaders in those organizations. That is how the collectivists of the world have taken over so much of the world with so few people. It's not that their numbers are great, but they know instinctively to go into the power centers of society and they work together promoting each other so that they get to the pinnacle, to the tops of those organizations, and then they run the organizations and they can determine the activities of so many millions of people.
And
we
Ed,
have to do the same thing.
And Ed, I've always said the greatest destructor of man has been fear, and we're getting enough of that from our government, from our media, and people need to walk with a quiet confidence. I'm not going to listen to a person that's wide-eyed and screaming. I'm going to look for that person that has knowledge, that has a quiet demeanor, but effective, walking with that quiet confidence. We have enough fear in our lives right now, and I think it's extremely important at this time that we do network with other people, that we calm down a little bit and look at the task at hand and then proceed forward. We don't have any other alternative, but folks, take the edge out of it. G. Edward Griffin, my profound thanks, sir, for coming on this program. I always enjoy talking with you, sir, and I know the listeners enjoy hearing from you.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, John, and maybe we can do this again sometime.
I certainly hope so, sir. Thank you, Ed.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, God bless you, sir. All right, folks, we'll take the top of the hour break here, come back. I don't know exactly where else I'm going to go in this broadcast, but I've got about a ton of stuff sitting on the desk, and we'll figure something out after the break. I'm eyeballing this 50-year hearing of the Federal Reserve. Maybe I'll go into that a little bit after this.
Hello, my name is...